And we're going to open the House Special Committee on Budget, the Subcommittee on General Government and Transportation and Economic Development. This morning is Tuesday, June 28th, 2005. We're going to open a work session on House Bill 5151. Dallas.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 5151 is the House version of the Governor's Office budget. You have the staff recommendations in front of you. It's dated June 7th. There's just one minor revision. The staff recommendation was to increase lottery funds for the economic revitalization team, funded entirely with lottery funds. The plan is to use one half of that cost to be funded out of county's 2.5% allocation of product lottery proceeds, the balance to come from the general lottery fund allocation. The budget would then eliminate the other funds transfer from various departments to fund that activity. There's also the 3%, reductions for the adjustment to the PERS rate and the attorney general rate. As outlined in my memo of the 7th, the House budget plan also has an additional 3% of general fund and lottery fund reduction to services and supplies that represents reductions. There's also an unspecified $1 million reduction as per the House budget plan. We've got a recommendation to accept proposed performance measures as interim measures for the Economic Revitalization Team and Arrest and Return Program, and acknowledge the plans for developing further performance measures and for the Governor's Office to report to the Audit Committee with refined and newly developed measures for other activities. The end result then, Mr. Chair, is a general fund appropriation of $6,914,804, lottery funds of $1,722,657, other funds limitation of $1,144,249, and federal funds limitation of $129,143, 46 positions, and 45.5 FTE. That is the staff recommendation with respect to the Governor's Office budget.
Thank you. We're going to close the work session on House Bill 5151. We're going to open up a work session on House Bill 5152. Monica.
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, 5152 is the budget bill for the Secretary of State. You have the memo from staff dated June 8th. There are no revisions to that, so I will just summarize them for you. The House plan establishes a $1 million special purpose appropriation for the production and distribution of the voter's pamphlet for the 2006 primary and general elections. Includes $700,000 general fund match for the Help America Vote Act. It also establishes other funds and federal fund limitation for Help America Vote Act and seven limited duration positions. Proposes reductions in the audits divisions, five auditors and one support staff. Lowers the assessment to state agencies from that division by $1 million and eliminates one vacancy in the corporation division. Provides $500,000 in projects and two positions for technology improvements within Corporations Division. Reduces general fund services and supplies and capital outlay by 3%, as well as taking $150,000 reduction offered by the Secretary, and converts the non-limited budget that was in elections and archives. These were in their miscellaneous accounts. LFO has been reviewing all non-limited in other agencies and converting to limited where it seemed appropriate. There was some direction on the performance measures, and that was to have them continue to review those and refine measures and report back to the Joint Legislative Audit Committee.
Thank you. We're going to close the work session on House Bill 5152. The work session for House Bill 5126, Bureau of Labor and Industries, is being carried over and will be scheduled for another day. We're going to open up a work session on House Bill 5155, Legislative Branch. Larry. Oh, we lost our quorum. We're going to stand in recess for a moment. We have our quorum back.
Sorry, Mr. Chair.
Nope, it's the nature of this time of year.
You had a copy of that from yesterday, right?
Yeah.
You had another copy?
Chair and committee members, placed before you is today in work session is House Bill 5155. This is a blank bill that is going to be amended to include the legislative branch budgets for all six agencies, Ledge Assembly, Ledge Administration, Ledge Council, Legislative Fiscal, Legislative Revenue, and the Commission on Indian Services. Although the budgets are all contained in one bill, each of these entities is a separate state agency and has separate appropriations. This budget was previously heard in the Joint General Government Subcommittee on May 10th and 11th, and the performance measures that you have attached were all reviewed and approved at that time. Overall, the budget is $61.6 million, which is about a 4.8% increase over the 2003-2005 budget. I'll go over the details of the memo in a minute, but basically the approved plan for legislative leadership is the same on both House and Senate side. The requirement was that the legislative branch make reductions of approximately $1.4 million to address some funding issues that I'm going to go over briefly with you and try to self-fund those. Briefly, in Ledge Administration, there are the standard technical adjustments, and I'll just walk through the memo with you briefly. The PERS adjustments, the AG rate adjustments, the standard adjustments that have been made in all budgets are also made in all of these. In Ledge Administration in particular, this is where two of the three packages that were in their presentation, phase one, phase two, are in fact funded. An electrical gearbox replacement, which is half general funded and half funded from the capital operating funds account. A bill drafting system, which is a two-biennia project for a joint project for both Ledge Administration and Ledge Council. The budget is built on the presumption that the project will be approximately $1.9 million. That would be COP financed. However, in the work session papers and for the record, it's to be noted that both of these agencies are still reviewing alternative ways to develop that system and plan to look at some alternatives that may alter that budget number. And as such, in the work session papers is the recommendation that both agencies jointly provide a report to the emergency board prior to the second COP sale to confirm to the JLCIMT committee as well as the emergency board what they have found out is the best way to proceed with that project and what the amount of the second sale will be. Also included in the memo is a brief discussion of the reduction plan for Ledge Administration, which is approximately $910,000 general fund. It involves elimination of one position and four FTE. Essentially, one position, a vacant account position, is eliminated, and three positions that are full-time at this time will be reduced to session only. And there are other reductions that I've itemized there for you that are services and supply related and inflation related and training funding. Any questions for Ledge Administration before I move on? Ledge Assembly has the standard reductions for PERS and Attorney General. The only change to that budget is a public commission on the legislature, which is being established in Senate Bill 1084, and to fund the activities of that commission, which was created at the emergency board, last emergency board meeting prior to session. There is an $133,000 general fund appropriation and one position, 0.75 FTE, put into the Assembly's budget to provide support to that commission for its work. And so the funding for that will be in this bill versus the bill, the policy bill that's in the Senate Budget Committee this afternoon. The only other notation under Assembly, two other notations. One is that the budget presumes there will be some sine die savings in the Ledge Assembly's budget. If the Assembly sine dies by August 1, that will be approximately $1.1 million, and that is part of the reduction plan for the Ledge branch as well. Normally, those funds would be carried over, or could be carried over into the interim by the Assembly, but based on the amendments that we're making to the bill today, those funds will not be carried over. They will actually revert to the ending balance. And that leads me to the last Assembly adjustment. When we get to the appropriation bill, there's a change in the bill's language that does change the manner in which the Assembly's funds revert to the ending balance. Under current law, when session ends, the Assembly has the opportunity to carry funds over into the interim to assist with interim expenses. And then anything that they don't use in the interim, it reverts when the next Assembly convenes. And based on the amendments to this bill, the Assembly will only be allowed to carry money over from its session expenses to the extent necessary to cover session-related costs. In exchange for that, at the end of the interim period, funds that are unexpended at the end of the interim period would be allowed to be carried over to help with session-related expenses. So it's basically a trade-off as to when the money reverts, but that's how the $1.1 million in estimated reversion savings will be achieved. Legislative Council has two standard reductions for PERS and Attorney General. They also had three policy packages, two of which were not approved. And the memo goes over the fact that $150,000 general fund reduction was made. The one package that was approved is a $60,000 other funds package that would provide for editorial indexing resources from revenues derived from the sales of their publications. The fiscal office adjustments are, again, the PERS and Attorney General rate adjustments, and there is an addition of two positions and 1.75 FTE, one of which is to create a fiscal impact position that would be in lieu of maintaining the rotational analyst program that the office has had over multiple biennia, with a net cost of $57,217 general fund. The second position that has been added to the fiscal office is related to performance measurement. During this session, and plans for all subsequent sessions at this time are that the office assume greater responsibility for the development, monitoring, and performance measures, and in light of that responsibility, the leadership have asked that we establish one additional position with a general fund cost of $162,157. Also in the Legislative Fiscal Office's section of the work session memo is a budget note that's been approved for inclusion in both the Department of Administrative Services budget as well as in the Legislative Fiscal Office, and that's the one that requires both of those agencies to develop best management practices performance measures with respect to the governance oversight for applicable boards and commissions. The best practices measures and a list of the entities which these measures should apply to are to be approved by the Joint Legislative Audit Committee by August 1. So both these agencies will be involved in developing key performance measures. Legislative revenues adjustments, again, PERS and Attorney General adjustments. They have no policy packages, and there is one addition to the budget for $10,000 general fund for ongoing costs related to the replacement of laptop computers, desktop computers, and statistical analysis software that has not been contained in the budget prior till now. Indian Services Commission, both technical adjustments is all that was made to that budget. There were no policy packages. As previously mentioned, the work session papers would recommend to the subcommittee that the performance measures that were previously presented, discussed, and approved by the Joint Ways and Means General Committee be adopted, and then that the committee adopt the amendments that are outlined in the last page of the memo.
We're going to close the work session on House Bill 5155. We're in the process of waiting for Chair Scott to come down to visit us, and then we will proceed forward. In the meantime, we have the distinct pleasure of having Chair Nelson with us today, and my understanding is you have a funeral you need to attend to. So what I'm going to do to expedite this process and to accommodate Chair Nelson is I'm going to open up a public hearing on House Bill 2795 relating to our military memorial and ask Chair Nelson if she would just come up and share her public testimony with us.
Thank you, Chair Smith, and good representative of Akin, and good legislative staff. I'm appreciative of your hearing this bill today.
Well, we apologize, Chair Nelson, for the delay in it.
Well, I'm, you know, my temperature and my blood pressure are so high right now. I was sitting here thinking that this reminds me of the Vietnam veterans that came home and didn't get the proper respect. So it wasn't a good day for the speaker to have moved a house session in place of a hearing that was called. But and so I want to apologize personally for these good people who have sat here for 2 hours to tell the story. I just simply want to say that this is a very important bill. What we learned from Vietnam, we should do something about this time. These individuals coming home from the Afghan-Iraqi war, and those who haven't come home and won't be coming home as they left, deserve our highest respect. Their families, their spouses, their surviving family members deserve a place to go to honor their work and their efforts. And I'm just so mindful that we live in this land of the free because of the brave and these brave young men and women. Also, I'm just absolutely convicted that what we did for the World War II veterans was most disrespectful. I wouldn't be sitting here today, nor would you, nor would our children have the freedom they have today, or others to speak or to assemble or to worship, had it not been for all these legends who did what Jesus Christ did and offered to give their life, and many of them have for us. So I think this Afghan-Iraqi memorial is the most meaningful gesture we can make in this state at this time to honor these individuals who have risked their lives for us by giving them this place of healing and respite and respect. Appreciate your support. And before I leave, Chair Smith, behind me I have one of the precious, brave soldiers from this war. He's an amputee, and he needs help in Hermiston to get into rehab. I'm going to ask you, since that's your district, I just learned it just a few minutes ago, if you give him some assistance. Thank you.
Chair Nelson, we truly appreciate the leadership you've provided on this issue. No one in the state could deny your passion and your conviction for the veterans and for those currently fighting on behalf of our freedom, and you truly deserve a heartfelt thank you for that. And we appreciate the advocacy and the fighting you do. So thank you very much, and we'll be back with you. What we're going to do, so we can give House Bill 2795 the due respect it deserves, is we're going to move the bills that we just had work sessions on out of the way, and then we're going to have all the necessary time that we need to address House Bill 2795. And so what I'm going to do is close the public hearing on House Bill 2795, and I'm going to open up the work session on House Bill 5151 relating to the Office of the Governor. Yeah. And we need Representative Scott moves House Bill 5151 as amended to the full committee on with the LFO recommendation to the full House Special Committee on Budget. Any discussion? Representative Avakian.
Thank you. I appreciate, Mr. Chair, you getting these bills out quickly so we can keep the process moving. I do want to comment that the governor's budget has almost an 11% reduction, and as we know, the governor's office is primarily personnel-driven, very important to have constituent relations statewide, and is also one of our main branches and departments and offices that deals with economic revitalization. And so to have a cut of nearly 11% out of their budget at this time is very difficult, especially when you compare it to the similar reduction that we have in our own legislative branch, which is approximately 0.02%. I would hope that we have time before we all sign a die to reconsider such a large cut out of the governor's budget.
Thank you. Any other discussion? Dissension? Representative Abakian is a no vote. Seeing no other dissension, House Bill 5151 is passed to the full House Special Committee on Budget. And Representative Krupp is going to carry this. Yes. We're going to close the work. We close the work session. Let me close the work session on House Bill 5151. We're going to open the work session on House Bill 5152 relating to Secretary of State. Chair Scott moves House Bill 5152 as amended per the LFO recommendation to the full House Special Committee on Budget. Any discussion? Representative Abakian.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Three pieces to this that are of some concern that I hope we have a chance to address later in the process. One, an 8% cut in the audits division, which is going to eliminate up to five state auditors, which are just critical for us doing good audits of our state agencies. Next, the policy option package 172 cut nearly in half, which is going to have a shocking impact on our ability to complete technology projects like the business one-stop shopping. But even more important to these two, I think you can't look at this budget isolated away from the other policy changes that are being debated in other committees regarding the auditing function of the Secretary of State. This is a very, very complex constitutional issue between the branches of government in what authority the Secretary of State has to do certain types of audits, and then corresponding to that, what authority we have through our ways and means or budgeting process to do certain types of audits. And I think we need to have that discussion on the constitutional roles of both branches of government before we start deciding to cut important auditing positions out of the Secretary of State's office. So with that, again, I appreciate your moving the bills quickly. I'll need to be a no vote at this time.
Any other discussion? Seeing none, is there Representative Abakian is a no vote. House Bill 5152, having the necessary votes, is passed to the full House Special Committee on Budget. I will carry this one in both. We're going to close the work session on House Bill 5152. We are carrying over House Bill 5126, Bureau of Labor and Industries. We're going to open up the work session on House Bill 5155, Legislative Branch. Any discussion? Seeing none, Representative Scott moves House Bill 5155 to the House Special Committee on Budget as amended with the due pass recommendation per the LFO recommendation. Any discussion? Any dissension? Seeing none, so moved, and I will carry that one as well. House Bill 5155, the work session is closed. We're now going to open a work session on Senate Bill 479, Dallas.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 479 was referred to the House Budget Committee. It's a bill that provides a tax credit to for the property tax exemption for purchases of certain types of newly acquired equipment acquired by qualified companies, and the exemption you have a dash A5 amendment that adds the companies that also process beef, poultry, and pork to this. What I passed out to you was the SMS as it came out of the Senate Revenue Committee and the revenue impact. You also have a new revenue impact statement for the dash A5 amendment. It changes slightly the revenue impact that was there before. So,
thank you. Any discussion? Chair Scott moves the amendments to Senate Bill 479. Any discussion? Any dissension? Seeing none, so moved. Chair Scott moves Senate Bill 479 with the dash A5 amendments to the full House Special Committee on Budget. Any discussion? Any dissension? Seeing none, so moved. I'll carry this one. We're going to close the work session on Senate Bill 479. For the record, I want to reserve the right for Representative Krupp to come down and cast his votes on 5151, House Bill 5152, House Bill 5155, and Senate Bill 479. Thank you for coming down.
Okay.
Thank you. We're going to now reopen up the public hearing on House Bill 2795, and we truly appreciate you folks being as patient as you have been. We're at that time in session where it gets awfully crazy and things are moving in a very quick manner. So we've had Chair Nelson come up and share her thoughts with us. And let's see here now. Looks like we have, is it Major, how do you say that?
Clay Kesterson, not MJ.
Oh, okay, MJ. Okay. I'm sorry.
You've been promoted.
And then also, why don't we have Clay come up, and we also have Luke Wilson come on up.
Thank you, Clay.
You bet.
Welcome.
Thank you.
If you could just introduce yourselves for the record, we'll make sure we have it.
My name is Clay Kesterson. I'm the president of the Afghan-Iraqi Freedom War Memorial.
And I'm Staff Sergeant, retired Luke Wilson. I was injured in Iraq, and I'm helping with this memorial.
And you're from Hermiston?
Yes.
Really? Did you graduate from Hermiston High School?
Yes, I did.
You're a Bulldog. I live down in Heppner, so I'm just 50 miles south of you. So from Eastern Oregon, that's neighbors.
Yeah.
So anyway, who wants to go first?
I'll only take a minute. I'm going to just mostly parrot what Chair Nelson has already presented, and I'll add that the timing is very important with this bill. With the passage of this bill, we can start throwing dirt very soon, and we can have this memorial completed before we send 900 more Oregonians into harm's way this December. We'd really appreciate getting the funds going.
Well, we appreciate
Thank you
bringing this forward, because this obviously is important.
Welcome. We've already lost 47 Oregon soldiers to this war. And I'm working with the Oregon Army National Guard's reintegration team now. And I'm getting things ready for 3rd to 116th. And I stay in contact with all my buddies at 2 to 162. And every phone call, I'm on the phone with them, it always turns to one of the guys that can make it home. And that's the majority of the phone call. My little brother, Tyler, went to Hawaii for a couple weeks with Lance Corporal James Houston, who died. And him and his friend Mick were so shaken up by his death that they couldn't even attend the funeral. So this memorial just ain't for people like me or the families. They're also for people like my brother, who hasn't even served at all, but are so shaken up by this that couldn't even attend the funeral. And he still can't face the family. Neither can I. We're only asking for $100,000. And I know you might say, well, that could fund an officer on the streets or a teacher for a year. Yeah, you're right. Yes, it can. But these are the same soldiers that this state has called out time and time again for floods and fires and guard the airports after 9/11. And $100,000? It's just drop in the bucket to honor these guys for the next decade or 100 decades. If it takes one teacher out of the system or one officer off the street just for 1 year, I'm sorry, but that's a sacrifice I'm willing to live with. I can't go by New Hope Church by Clackamas Town Center without thinking of Sergeant Weisenberg, one of my friends. I'm amazed this memorial's been held up this long. I want to see this done and built. So please, let's get this done. Thank you.
Thanks.
We appreciate you coming down here and giving us that powerful testimony. So
thank you.
How long have you been working on this?
About a month now, month and a half.
Okay. Let's see here. We have Irv Fletcher. And I'm not very good on names here. Is it J.R.? Robertson?
S.R. Robertson.
S.R. Robertson. Okay, I apologize. So, please come on up. If you could just introduce yourselves for the record.
Thank you. Good morning. I'm Sue Robertson. I'm the director for the Coalition of Troop Support for the State of Oregon and Washington. It's been my privilege and honor to have association with MJ and Clay Casterson and Luke Wilson as well. It will take less than 25 cents per person per adult for the state of Oregon to fund this. When you break it down to that level, it's kind of amazing. I'm the wife of a retired Marine. I have three sons who have two on currently on active duty, one who is with the reserve who just returned from Afghanistan. My oldest son is currently in Mosul, Iraq. We have over 8,000 Oregon troops that have gone, come back. We have 47 who will never return in the fashion that they left. They left to ensure that this state and this nation remains secure and can conduct commerce in safety. This has received wide support from both the VFW, the American Legion, the Vietnam Veterans of Oregon, NEVA, which is Northwest Indian Veterans Association, the Purple Heart Association, the Marine League, the PVA, along with many, 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 many more groups who have been before Chairman Nelson's committee and testified. We currently have more than 1,000 troops getting ready to deploy, both to Iraq and Afghanistan from this state, that as they have to step into harm's way, that we in Oregon believe they are worth at least 25 cents per adult in this state. I see no reason that we cannot get this funded nor get it started so that these young men and women know, irregardless of how things turn out for them, they will not be forgotten. Thank you.
Chair Smith, Representative Varakian. I'm Irv Fletcher, representing the Korean War Veterans Association Oregon Trail Chapter. And we strongly support House Bill 2795, appropriating $100,000 for the Afghan-Iraq War Memorial. The 1999 Oregon legislature passed Senate Bill 1131, appropriating an unspecified amount of money from the general fund to DAS, Department of Administrative Services, subject to the allotment process for construction of the Korean War Memorial at Wilsonville. A memorial project had a goal of $500,000. The check we received from the state of Oregon was for $289. That may have been coincidental. There were 289 Oregonians killed in Korea. We sent the check back. We figured if the state needed it that bad, why, we didn't need it. Instead, with the representative, Senator John Lim then, interceding for us and setting up a meeting between the Prime Minister of South Korea, our committee received a check for $50,000 from Korea, the Republic of Korea, and also $50,000 from Hyundai Corporation in Eugene. We met our goal of $500,000, and if you've been to Wilsonville, you'll see it was $500,000 well spent. I commend you for this bill, and please follow through on it and see that whatever you appropriate, that money gets to the committee as soon as possible. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much for coming down. We have, is it Linda? Linda Christie? Yeah. Please come on up. Come on up. While you're coming up, Luke, would you come back up as well? I want to ask you a few questions. Welcome, Linda. You can just introduce yourself for the record.
I'm Linda Christie. I'm the Deputy Director for the Coalition of Troop Support, and I also heavily support this bill, and just ditto and echo what everybody else has said here today. This memorial is well needed for the families as well as the community. And I don't know what else to say. I get too emotional. So you can take over.
Thank you so much for coming down here.
Thank you.
I want to share with you folks that speaking on behalf of this committee, we're very supportive of this effort. What I also want to share with you is we work on budgetary issues, and we haven't had a chance to look at the policy side of this. Can you take a moment and share with us what the memorial is going to look like and how it's going to how we're going to make sure we benefit our veterans who most deservedly should have this.
The memorial.
I'll take that.
It's okay. Let's just go over there.
Let's take a look over here. We're not messing you up while we have
her. And for the record, Linda Christie has a son presently serving in Iraq as well.
Yes.
She is also a tenured member of the funeral.
Who's what? I'm sorry.
Attended many of the funerals. We have attended many.
Not that one.
Very hard.
That's a ticket for 20 bucks.
Yeah. I'll send you more than 20 bucks. Come stop by my office. We'll get you more than 20 bucks.
I'll
you come by my office afterwards.
Okay.
I'm going to do this really quick, just for the record. I'm going to do I need to recess, or are we okay?
You're reviewing the plans.
Okay.
Excuse me. I'm going to excuse myself. I'll bring you a poster.
Perfect.
Oh, there's a color picture right there.
Brief description. You recognize where this is, the Veterans Administration building up here, Mill Creek. This is going to be a 30 by 40 pond, not a pond, a fountain, with a map of the world laid out in it and a mirror finished stainless steel.
Wow.
Over America, right here. Going to be a 6-foot marble pedestal. We've modified this life-size bronze soldier a little bit.
She's going to get it.
Yeah, it's going to be more like this. Put a bony hat on him instead of a helmet, and he's a little more erect. He's also going to be articulated. He's going to move by the water pressure back and forth. So he's on back and forth. There'll be lighted waterworks. And it can be choreographed to music. Material and labor all set up.
Yes, it is.
Right.
This, when this is completed, the quasi-military organizations within the state will be purchasing brass plaques that will represent every conflict and war that we've been in. This park will become one of a handful in the country that will cover everything from the Revolution to current time.
This is also one of the very first memorials for this war in our nation.
How are we going to make sure that all the folks who need to be invited...
The names of all of our fallen are going to go on this pedestal, and we've made provisions.
The engineering documents. Oh, okay.
We've made provisions to add as necessary, and the medallions for each of the different services.
Terrific. I think that's been very helpful. Again, we serve budget, and we kind of get stuck down in these little rooms, and we don't have a chance to see everything that Chair Nelson had an opportunity to see. Thank you. I just want to share my personal thoughts with each of you and tell you thank you. on behalf of this committee, on behalf of all 90 members in this legislature, and I know the governor sends his thank you as well. He's shown it with his words and with his actions, and I think this House bill before us is a minimum amount of what we can do to say thank you for your contribution. And Luke, I just want to personally thank you for the service you've given to the state of Oregon and to the United States, and I want you to know we do all appreciate that.
Thank you, sir.
So we're honored to have you here today, and we're honored to have each and every one of you here today and for the sacrifice that each of you have made. So,
I don't know if you don't mind me adding to just a minute to that, Luke. There's, I mean, you've obviously given so much of yourself to the conflict and in protecting us here, and but there's a whole other standard when somebody comes back and recommits themselves to doing good works. And I mean, you're obviously a young man and can be doing a lot of things and will do a lot of things in your life, but to come back and continue working for a cause, to continue showing both your patriotism, your support for your fellow soldiers, and your support for Oregonians, so that we can understand a little bit about what you experienced and what your friends experienced when you were there, is just once again doing something tremendous and heroic for us. And so you have our deep, deep gratitude for continuing such good works back here at home.
Thank you, sir.
We're proud of you.
Thank you, sir. So,
what we're going to do now is close the public hearing on House Bill 2795, and look forward to having you back down here very soon when we go to a work session. So thank you so much, and again, thank you for your patience in allowing us to work through this schedule the way we did. We just wanted to make sure we had ample and appropriate time to address this issue the way it deserved to be addressed. So. And just quickly for the record, thanking Chair Nelson for the leadership she provides to the veterans of this state. It's truly heartfelt, and we all owe her a big thank you for her commitment. So with that, we are going to close the public hearing on House Bill 2795, and we're now going to open up a public hearing on House Bill 2180 relating to elevators. Robin.
Mr. Chair, members, the staff is passing out a couple of memos, one for this bill and one for 2181. They simply summarize what's in both of those bills. I don't know if you've got public testimony, folks who are wanting to testify on these bills or not.
Let's see. Mark, do you want to come up and give us...
Ah.
Oh, sorry. Terrific. Come on up and...
Hi. These are the 47 that we've lost to date to our soldiers. Those are current. This is the only thing that's changed here is that our soldier is a little more erect, and he's facing the other direction, and he's wearing a boonie hat, which was a general consensus amongst many of the families that those were some of the changes we made to accommodate everybody.
Thank you so much. We appreciate that.
Thank you.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Together.
Yeah. It's gotten longer since the beginning of session.
Yeah. Welcome.
Good morning. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, Mark Long, Administrator of Building Codes Division, and I just would cover a couple comments that are for both bills, if you don't mind, and then be happy to take any of your questions. Hopefully it's no secret to the Chair that what we do at Building Codes is set standards for construction, and we're intimately involved in it, and I'm very interested in making our regulatory system work better. These bills are about change. It's about making it easier for individuals and businesses to do business in Oregon. These bills are a product of a work group meetings that occurred through the House Business Committee, which referred them to you. These are consensus bills with stakeholder support. There is no additional state expenditures needed to implement these bills. The first bill, 2180, addresses elevator inspections and allows us to prioritize elevators. Sounds like a very simple thing. It actually is. But under current law, we treat elevators that move 12 inches or 12 stories under the same regulatory structure. And I think that there's a way that we can look at the actual risk and life safety components and say, maybe we don't need to look at the 12-inch elevator every year. Maybe it's every 2 years, 3 years. We'll go through a process. This bill says that we go through a process working with our board to set that standard, and we'd like to do that. House Bill 2181 attempts to create consistency amongst the licensing practices and enforcement practices we have amongst our various boards that issue licenses and oversee licensed activity. Also, what 2181 does, it allows for flexibility. Right now, renewal times, registration formats are all detailed in statute and don't provide a lot of flexibility for individuals who carry more than one license. I'd like the opportunity to provide flexible renewal dates based upon their individual needs and combine licenses so that if you are have multiple licenses from my organization, that you can do your business at one time instead of three times a year, and set your expiration dates to meet your needs and provide some customization. That's what these bills do, and I urge your support. I'd be happy to answer any questions you have.
Good. I don't have any questions, Representative Avakian.
No, thank you.
When I look at a letter that was passed to the committee, it looks like you do have broad support for both these measures. So.
Yes, Mr. Chair. They're consensus, and we worked very diligently through the House Business Committee to get consensus with all the different groups that are represented.
Perfect. Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to testify on House Bill 2180? Okay, seeing none, we're going to close the public hearing on House Bill 2180 and open a public hearing on House Bill 2181. Robin.
Again, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I have handed out a memo that summarizes the contents of the bill. On the backside is the staff measure summary, by the way, from the substantive committee. And again, Mark Long is here to talk about that bill. There is no one else signed up to testify.
Mr. Chair, I would just echo the previous comments, and I attempted to cover both of them in my previous statement. So, again, this is another consensus bill as well. It's going to allow for easier registration and licensing of businesses and individuals in the state, and I urge your support.
Thank you very much. All right. We're going to close the public hearing on House Bill 2181. And seeing that we have gone through a very full agenda and that there's nothing else left on the schedule, we are going to adjourn for the day.